fighting tyranny. You're listening to Knights of the Sword.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Knights of the Storm. Today is 13th of January, 2024. We're one day closer to the almighty 2030. Okay, and today we have a very special guest. Mr. Wayne McCroy is going to be joining us just to talk about all kinds of stuff, talk about some of his books. Maybe we'll talk property rights, AI, things like that. So first off, let me welcome you, Mr. McCroy. How are you today?
Good morning, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to be on some new and different shows. Good to be here. Thanks for having me on. It is always appreciated.
Oh, thank you for coming on. I contacted you a couple weeks ago. Oh, by the way, I need to mention to the audience, the reason we don't have cameras today is because my camera took a crap on me. And, you know, we all decided to go cameraless. So that's kind of cool. I am wearing pants.
Damn it.
You know. Pants are optional on this one, though. But anyway, so let's get into who you are. I think everybody who listens to us, Wayne, they know who you are. But just in case there's some people out there who don't, talk about a little bit about what you do. I know you're kind of into the esoteric, you're into history. You know a lot about tech and AI, and you kind of pull it all together, right? And make the big picture make sense. Is that about right?
Oh, absolutely. Because here's the thing. It all ties together. At the end of the day, you always wind up in one or two places. Whenever you research any of these conspiratorial type topics, you always, when you trace it back to its roots, you always find the ancient mystery schools and occultism at one end. And at the other end, you always find this notion that's called transhumanism as the end goal of all of it at the opposite end when you follow it out to its invariable future manifestation here. So that's the angle I've taken at looking at all this stuff. And that's why I actually have named my podcast. And of course, my first book was written back in 2017. I named it the same thing. It's The Alchemical Tech Revolution, because that's certainly what has become manifest here today in this world. What they've done is they've taken some of the ancient natural sciences and alchemical sciences of antiquity, and they've merged them and brought them forward today with our modern technology. And in essence, what they've really done with this is they've taken a lot of this old knowledge and they've completely inverted it from what the natural order of things should be. And if you want a true definition of what Satanism is, it's the inversion principle, essentially. So that's what they've done. They've inverted all of these known commodities that they've had from time immemorial, and they've weaponized them against the public and inverted everything, because their end goal is to build a wholly artificial reality in which they can be the gods of this place. And this is the fulfillment of what they call the Great Work. Now, this is a perversion of what the original intent of some of the early alchemical and hermetic scientists was. But that's sadly what we have today, because there's always been this secret priestcraft behind the scenes that has steered these agendas through the use of secret society groups and kept a lot of this knowledge hidden from the masses. And in fact, we've been indoctrinated to think of a lot of these ways of thinking as archaic or silly and nonsensical. And that thus we have our modern manifestation of what they call science. That I would call scientism, by the way, because much of that is also a faith-based belief structure, more so than empirical evidence-based. So that being the case, they've adopted this notion wholesale of this materialist paradigm, what I call the hyper-materialist paradigm, where everything can be equated down to some physical world manifestation here of cause and effect. And they've tried to impart this idea into the minds of human beings. And this bypasses any thinking in terms of the philosophical or the spiritual. So they try to equate everything down to being a physical material world cause and effect relationship or manifestation. Things even like human consciousness, which they could never completely understand and still to this day don't. And they try to put all these things in this little box of cause and effect in the physical realm here. So in essence, what they've done is they try to explain away human consciousness as nothing more than the byproduct of the electrochemical activity of the brain and brainstem. But certainly, if you go back and you look at these ancient sciences, you know that's not true. And there are some at the topmost levels of the power structure that completely understand that's not true. But their whole premise here is about control. So in order to control a thing, first you need to quantify a thing. So they've attempted to quantify human consciousness. Just like everything else, they attempt to quantify and measure everything. Because this relates to what is actually the inversion principle of the alchemical sciences. And that's a little science known as cybernetics. And most people are completely unaware that this is the basis upon which all of our social structure is built right now. Cybernetics methodologies. And we're taught the complete opposite in school. So I don't know how deep you want to go into this notion of cybernetics and control systems and things like that. I know we wanted to touch on some other topics, but essentially, just to give people a breakdown as to who I am and the things I talk about, it always ties back to this. It ties back to the archetypes in the occult and who the power structure truly is in this world and what their end goals are, which always invariably translates into what's called transhumanism. So those are the premises that I touch on in all of my books and podcasts. And I like to go back and I look at their original source material and read directly from that. So that way you get the words directly from the horse's mouth. You don't have to take my word for it, that this is what these people believe and what they push. It's right there in their own words. And they will always tell you who they are when you learn to read between the lines. So that's a mouthful, but I'm not sure where you want to go from there. I know we have a lot of topics of importance to discuss here today.
You know, that's interesting. You talk about technology from back in the days. I've often thought, and I don't have any proof on this or anything, but I've often thought that people back, you know, even going back to the biblical days, actually had more knowledge than we give them credit for. Do you think that there was technology that they were working on or had developed that was kind of like buried or lost, and that certain people still knew about it and carried that forward? Does that make sense?
I think that's demonstrable, actually. We could pretty much understand ancient man was a lot smarter than we give him credit for. And this is one of the things that's happened with our modern education system. We're taught to think that we are the pinnacle of what humanity has ever been in this world right now, as far as our knowledge of science and our technological advancement and stuff like that. So we're thought to be at the pinnacle, and we're taught to think at a very early age that ancient man was kind of stupid, that he worshipped the sun and he thought of the world in really superstitious type ways. And these are kind of the monikers they've given us for this stuff today. They call it superstition, myth, and they think of it as being backwards and unscientific in its thinking. And they try to present it to you as being stupid. What it is, though, is it's a different philosophical way of looking at things. And it involves different aspects of what you might call spiritual worlds, which interrelate with our own. And these things have been overlooked because they're trying to steer us into this materialist mentality, this hyper-materialist paradigm, wherein we think of things only in the physical, material world, cause and effect type sequence. So when you look at how they've attempted to steer the human mind into thinking in these ways, our modern science has given us the tools to do so, which once again, this ties back to the whole notion of trying to objectively measure everything and quantify everything, because here's one of the big secrets of cybernetics. If you can measure a thing and you can quantify a thing, that gives you some modicum of control over that thing, even if it's an imprecise measurement. And they've attempted to do this with human consciousness. And that's why we have social engineering today. Because they are able to measure certain aspects of human consciousness in different ways. And they've done so. So they know how to manipulate people's emotions primarily, and also their ways of thinking secondarily. And this is done through a science called propaganda, primarily today. And this is a weaponized form of quantification of human consciousness and human behavior in certain ways. Now, it's imprecise because they don't really objectively know what consciousness is, where it derives from, how it works. They have theories, and they've come up with some physical material world theories and models that they can use to objectively measure some of the aspects of these things so that they can control it and steer it in certain directions. One of these models is what you would call a Bayesian brain model. And in doing this, in developing this model, of what they would term as consciousness. It gives them some modicum of control. It's imprecise, though, but it can steer people's emotions, steer people's behaviors in general directions. And they've gotten really good at this through the years, especially when it comes to mass psychology. And mass psychology, or group psychology, works a bit differently than individual psychology. But they're trying to break down the barriers in those regards, too. And at the end of the day, one of the key tools that they're using to steer people's behaviors and belief systems is data, the collection of data. And that's why these computers and this whole AI network system they're trying to put in place is so important to them, because they want to get that the control down to the individual level. Now, they've been really good at steering the mass group of population at large, the public at large, in their belief systems and their ways of thinking. But they're trying to tailor it down to individual types of control now. And they're getting pretty good at it. And through the use of computer algorithms and things like that, even though it's an imprecise tool, they could get a general type of result that they're looking for in this way. So they've done this, and we can see the ramifications of it right now. I may have veered a little far off the subject there, but certainly I think in the past, human beings were a lot smarter than we give them credit for today.
So I tend to think so too. Angus, you made some comments in the chat talking about, you know, pyramids and power and stuff like that. I mean, I think we had electricity way before we had electricity. What do you think about that, Angus, about lost knowledge and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think. I think either, like, as I think Karen put up there, is it was either lost on purpose or accidentally. But I kind of look now and I think we're starting to lose some technology again. And maybe to Wayne's point that, you know, pushing us towards a digitalized consciousness on starting with our phones. And, you know, like I always say, without your phone, you can't remember anything anymore.
Yeah. And that is, it is like we're going backwards. So I could easily see that we were at a certain level of tech. And then we lost it because when you stop critically thinking, and then to Wayne's point about science, you know, science is now a consensus. There's no real science going on. We just accept things that we're told and we go backwards. I think we're going backwards now. And I think that's very dangerous because we have AI right now and the mass mind control. That's what social media is all about. That's what your 24-hour news cycle is all about. It's about swaying the public to believe a certain way. And
you get to the point now, so you want to know how to plant tomatoes. You know, people knew how to do that. They knew how to fertilize and all that. Now everybody gets their phone or their goes to their computer and Googles it. Nobody knows how to do anything anymore. And so who's to say that the information they're giving you is correct? You know, that's how they start to manipulate the whole thing. Oh, well, you know, to plant your tomatoes, you should use some broken light bulbs that have contained mercury or, you know, whatever. So who knows? The whole thing is just crazy now.
That's funny you should mention that, because that's one of the projects I'm working on is going. And that was the first article I downloaded was how to grow tomatoes indoors in case I need to do that in the future. And ironically, I'm taking those articles, I'm saving them as a PDF, and I'm putting them on an old phone. You know, because I don't know how to do this stuff. And when I grew up, we gardened. And I tell you the first thing about gardening right now, you know, I've lost that knowledge. But going back to the transhumanist thing, I wanted to ask Wayne, do these people that push for this, and I would say Elon Musk is probably one of them. He's a big transhumanist, in my opinion. Do they believe that there is, you say they want to quantify everything. Do they actually believe we have a soul? Or do they think that we're just a bunch of electrochemical connections and that's what makes us us?
Well, it depends how far up the power structure you go for this. Now, the vast majority of those that are pushing for this whole transhumanist notion, they think in terms of what we would know as secular humanism. They believe there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no hell, there's no devil, there's no creator, that all of this stuff just came about accidentally through some random event that happened 20 billion years ago, wherein nothing exploded and somehow mysteriously became everything, defying everything scientific that was ever brought forward. But that's their story, and they're sticking to it. And then somehow we magically evolved from out of the rocks, from the primordial soup, and here we are. Well, they believe this. The vast majority of them believe this and the materialist science we've been handed. So that being the case, they don't believe in anything extant beyond this place, beyond this physical realm in which we manifest here. They don't believe in the spiritual. They think all of that is nothing more than a byproduct of the electrochemical production of the brain and brainstem. Let's put it that way. So they think that all of these feelings we have that we would measure and call consciousness, it's all relatable down to just the activity of the brain and brainstem. So there's a physical source, and this is what they believe. Now, if this is true, now based upon this premise, if this is true, then you could just equate consciousness down to little more than an algorithm. And if you could equate it down to little more than an algorithm, that means you could duplicate it in a machine or elsewhere. And therefore, you can duplicate your consciousness in some other physical vehicle in this place, or multiple vehicles in this place. And this is the notion of transhumanism. And this is what the vast majority who push for this philosophy believe. They don't believe there's an afterlife. They don't believe in a heaven and hell. They don't believe in a creator or a devil or anything else of this sort. They completely think of spiritual types of concerns as nothing more than a product of the electrochemical reactions of the brain and brainstem. Emotions, equate it down to emotions and nothing more, these types of sensations. And in so doing, they certainly believe that it is the destiny of mankind to be able to transcend our physical limitations here. This is how they view it. They see the human being in our created state currently as being flawed or incomplete. And this is the hubris of some of these people. They think they can build it better. They can build back better. So they
there you go. That's a buzzword now.
Oh, certainly.
Yep.
So they want to be able to transfer human consciousness into a machine, and they think they can do so. And then we could actually transcend our physical limitations that we have. And this is why they push transhumanism. The vast majority believe in this secular humanist type of philosophy. Now, at the uppermost levels, they certainly do know that the human being has a soul and that there is reality beyond this one. And they have various reasons for pushing these things. It seems to me they don't want to have to face the music of answering to their creator for their sins they've heard. So they're trying to bypass that in any way they can. And how can they do that? Well, let's build our own reality that we can exist in and become the gods of. That's their attitude. So they think they could do this. They have the hubris now. They think they could do this through the use of modern technology combined with these old alchemical or occult sciences. They believe they can do that and that they could transcend all of this. They could live forever in a physical material world type of form through the use of this transferring of consciousness into a machine. So, in essence, they think they could achieve this apotheosis. That's how they referred to it. Apotheosis. This ascending into godhood. This is what they view as the next step in human evolution. And we could go into the whole notion of evolution if you'd like, because this has been a convoluted, jumbled mess as well. But at any rate, I don't want to get too long about side tangents. I know there's other things you guys wanted to discuss today.
All right. Hey, I wanted to welcome Angry Tiger. He just popped in. If you're listening on Free World, he just popped in. Tiger, sorry about the camera situation. My camera pooped out on me this morning and I haven't figured out what the problem is. So
good morning, gentlemen. It's okay. I got Angus's ugly face to stare at, so it's all right.
That's right. I turned my camera on just for you.
Nice, nice. Wayne, it's a pleasure meeting you. If you guys want, I could turn my camera off.
That's completely up to you. But yeah, Wayne was just talking about kind of like what the overall end goal is of transhumanism and stuff like that. We were talking a little bit about We all believe that technology was greater in the past than what we believe it, you know, than what we know it to be from, you know, documentation or whatever. I think one thing I wanted to talk about, Wayne, you touched on something that is the heart of the transhuman thing, is they're trying to escape the music, you know, not have to face the noise. But if they really believe that all we are, if there's no soul or anything like that, is electrochemical connections bouncing around the brain, how do they think that they're going to transfer that into a computer? I mean, you could make a copy, but then you would not exist in the computer and in yourself at the same time. I just don't get the reasoning or the logic behind that. Are they just stupid or what? You know,
it seems to me, here's the thing. Most of the people that are working on these transhumanist technologies, they firmly believe that they are nothing more. Their consciousness is nothing more than the electrochemical byproducts of their brain and brainstem. So if that's the case, their consciousness is an illusion. And that comes down to this whole notion of like this Bayesian brain model that I mentioned earlier. Consciousness and free will, according to these models, is an illusion. So if it's an illusion, it can be duplicated elsewhere. So they sincerely think, most of the people working on this, that if it can be equated down to this little more than an algorithm, it can be duplicated in a machine. So somehow they think, for some reason, that their consciousness will go on in the machine. Now, I'm with you. I think this would be nothing more than a crude knockoff.
Right. And
that's the whole notion here. But for some reason, they think that they will actually still have this experience, this experiential factor of being. And this gets down to the ontological I, or I am, in the human soul, the divine spark. What is it? They don't believe in a divine spark, most of the people working on this. So they don't really have that concern. They think somehow the consciousness will just manifest once the algorithm is perfected and it can duplicate their thinking processes. So we have some people that are working on these types of technologies, and I'm sure you've probably seen by now, they have, I forget the name of the company, but it will actually duplicate a social profile of your dead loved one or something, so you could still talk to them online. I don't know how. Yeah, it's pretty creepy stuff, but they're working on that. So this kind of thing brings into question all sorts of other things too, as far as spiritual concerns, in my estimation. And I think that's where things get a little deeper, because like I said, this is the surface level. This is the vast majority of the people working towards this transhumanist goal. They believe in this secular humanist way of looking at things, which actually, when it comes down to it, secular humanism is nothing more than the Luciferian philosophy. And they don't even realize that. But at the higher echelons of the power structure, they certainly know what they're doing. They certainly know that there is a human soul and that the soul transcends this place. And what are they doing exactly? Are they building a prison for the human soul in doing this? Are they building a way for other entities to manifest in this physical world? You have to ask these questions when you begin to go down the spiritual path of this. So I don't have the answers, nor do I claim to have the answers to all of it. But certainly there's different levels to this whole agenda. And the vast majority of the people pushing the transhumanist agenda, they think they're doing something good. They think they're fulfilling their destiny as a human being to ascending to the next level of evolution, which is the post-human state, which is concurrent with what the occult schools would teach as being apotheosis, this transcendent state into becoming a god. And this is truly what they think they're working on. They think they can overcome these barriers we have in our limited physical bodies that we have right now. They think they can become immortal and live in this place forever and transcend different forms here. They could live inside a digital world. They could live inside some robotic avatar, some other biological avatar that they could build here. These are the thoughts that they have going on through this transhumanist notion of things. Now, transhumanism itself is kind of like a transitional state to what post-humanism is. And all of these terms could get convoluted and jumbled up at different times, but the essential goal of transhumanism is what's called post-humanism, or essentially to become God. And that's what most of these people think. They can become God. Now, The problem is you have these dark occultists who run things at the top of all of this, and they have a different view than most of the people working on this. So in my estimation, what they want is they themselves want to be the god of this place, and they want to have control over all of these other, well, useful idiots. Let's put it that way. That's how they view us. They view us as useless eaters, useless idiots, and they think they could control us and be godlike in this way. They want the worship of the people, and this will probably look like, oh, I don't know, a machine of some sort, an artificial intelligence control grid that ties to all of this, because that's the whole notion that's been pushed here, that the only way that humanity can achieve this apotheosis state is to merge with the artificial intelligence and transcend our limitations, because they will tell you the machine can do calculations much faster than the human being, and it can solve problems much more quickly than the human being. And they fear that, left unchecked, AI will eventually decide that we are worthless and try to eliminate us. So, of course, they introduce, what's the solution to this? We need to merge with it so that we have this common type of bond and this common type of goal for ourselves. And that's why they're really pushing this. And that's why you have Elon Musk out there saying, oh, artificial intelligence, if it's left unchecked, it'll destroy us. The only solution is to merge with it. And in the meantime, he builds an AI company and starts producing AI. So you got to know there's always deeper agendas and stuff involved with this. And it gets back to the spiritual manifestation of things. Now, a lot of this can relate back to what some of our belief systems are. And I look at the world through a Christian lens because I've found an awful lot of truth in Christianity, and I've found a lot of truth in Christ. So that being the case, I see this, and I see all of the ancient writings we've been handed that point at exactly what's going on right now. And things are beginning to snap into place that we never could have pictured in past times. Look at the book of Revelation. Look how strange the symbolism and stuff is in there. And the generations past, people couldn't imagine what this would look like. Well, we have all the technologies to make the whole Mark of the Beast system and everything a real phenomenon now. So people need to keep this in mind. This stuff has been predicted, and they use it kind of as a self-fulfilling blueprint as well. So at any rate, we have all of these different notions of things, and it's a very multi-layered type of an agenda going on. But the goal is the same on all parts of the agenda of these different layers.
Wow, that's deep. I got a question here from Karen Carpenter. By the way, let me do shout outs real quick. We've had Dad Guy, that's Patrick the Plumber. He donated some cash, so that's cool. Maybe I can get a new camera if I need to. Who else is in here? Harps is in there. What's going on? Harps, the Thunder from Down Under. Raoul's in there. Of course, Angus is in there. And this is over on Rumble, by the way. Karen Carpenter, who, Mr. Gardner Goldsmith, Liberty Conspiracy. Not Liberty. Anyway, he's there. Assyrian Girl's there. Am I missing anybody, Angus? Little John.
Yeah, Little John.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for coming out, guys. Anyway, the question there on the screen, do you think these elites are seeking immortality to avoid a reckoning for their deeds after death? Basically, I think you already addressed that, didn't you? That's kind of one of their goals.
Yeah, so, I think some of them, that is their goal, to avoid answering or being accountable for their actions here, because they certainly know that this place operates on a certain set of principles known as natural laws. And violation of these natural laws, you need to be held accountable for, that our Creator created this reality with these natural laws in place. And we are to be held accountable to these things. We're supposed to work within the bounds of natural laws. And a lot of what's been done through this inversion principle I spoke of earlier is we work against the natural order. And you could see that and it manifest in every portion of our society today. Things like our technologies that we use, well, what's a combustion engine? It's a destructive type of a technology. Whereas in the older times, they knew of and they utilized constructive types of technologies. They worked within the bounds of nature. And you have examples of this in the modern era, wherein you had Victor Schauberger developed a device called the repulsing engine that used the natural energetic principles of the world, the natural energies, to produce electricity and power. And we work in opposition to that now. This thing's been covered up. There's a lot of different devices like this, free energy devices that could potentially change the world, because we're surrounded by a sea of energy they don't want us to understand. And this is known as the ether. So you need to go back and look at ether physics to get a broader and better view of how things truly operate in this world. So we have a secret type of physics that's also been pursued behind the scenes through special access programs and black budget programs that we don't have in the public view. And certainly you can cite examples of this coming out of places like Lockheed Martin and various other places wherein they touch upon this off the books physics that they use in order to build things that work. Free energy devices, anti-gravitic craft, these kind of things, they are a reality. And people are largely unaware of them, or we're taught to think, well, that's just ridiculous. We can't do that. Well, there's different types of science principles that come into play with that. So I know this is a lot of information. It's hard to pack about 30 years of research into 1 hour. So, I mean, I'm doing my best here. I don't want to get too side topicked on different things here. I know
we have a question, Mr. McCroy, if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead, man.
You mentioned the occult, that the upper echelon, they're into this occult thing. What specific, like, is it druidism? Is it like an offshoot of Baphometism? Is it the ancient Babylonian, you know, god of what do they call him? Moloch? Is it, you know, because I looked into that kind of stuff, and they're the text that we have is very few, and the evidence of that stuff is far and few in between. You got a couple of broken up tablets that people piece together and say, well, this is Moloch worship from Babylon and Samaria back in, you know, 5000 BC. So I'm just curious what occult they're, you know, is it something that we know about, or is it something that we can't even understand, that it's really not mainstream?
Well, the thing is, it's really not mainstream, and there's a lot more information about this available than you think, but you have to find it within the secret society groups. These are writings that were never made public. They're only for the initiates of the orders. So thanks to the invention of the internet that we have today, we have a lot of these things available to us now that haven't been. If you go back about 15 years, you couldn't find this information. Now they've been digitally scanning books into the computers and posting them on obscure websites online. And if you find these, there's actually a really, really old occult tradition that passes all of these ideas forward through the course of time. And you can trace the alchemical roots of it, the alchemical stream of knowledge from these different traditions. And I've spent innumerable years trying to back engineer a lot of this stuff and look at it and what exactly is it they believe. Well, it's a combination of these different occult belief systems that you just mentioned there. They all tie back to the same places in antiquity, and they have different types of traditions based upon this through the various different secret schools and religious and philosophical structures that have been brought forward. So there's a kernel of truth that connects all of them together that they've done. They just call it different things. And a lot of this ties back to the notion that's called archetypes. Carl Jung called it an archetype. And certainly the archetype is present. So I would suggest, if you wanted to explore this avenue of thought further, you need to look into the works of like Joseph Campbell and Carl Jung to try to connect the dots and bring it forward. And if you look back at some of the old alchemical texts that seem kind of nonsensical, once you understand the language of symbology, you could connect the dots. It's an entire language that they've devised. That's a secret language that they communicate all of this information through. It's called the green language in Freemasonry. It's also called the phonetic Kabbalah. It's also known as the language of the birds. And these are all concepts that most people, at a surface look, they're not going to even know what they're looking at. Like if you try to go back and read an old alchemical grimoire, you're not going to know what in the world it's talking about. It's talking about mercury. It's talking about sulfur. It's talking about all these different things, but that's not really what's being mentioned there. It's a coded language. They're talking about something entirely different based upon the different context clues in the writing. And this takes years of study to decipher a lot of these things. And I'll be honest with you, I'm only at the base level of beginning to decipher a lot of this stuff. So they have people who have gone through specific training in the secret society groups, different secret society groups, that may have a better or clearer understanding of the symbology, the language of symbology that they use to express ideas, and they may be able to put together different meanings to the surface clues. And of course, they refer to this as the difference between the exoteric and the esoteric. There's hidden layers of meaning within all of this stuff. In the study of the scripture or the Bible, this is called hermeneutics. And hermeneutics, you can get at least 7 different meanings out of any scripture verse that you're given in the Bible. So like all of these things, when you apply these principles that these people within the philosophical schools and the secret society groups have known and have taught each other through a lineage through the generations here, when you get access to understanding what's being said, there's whole layers of information that are just padded in there that you can draw different meanings from. And it's hidden on purpose. They've hidden away a lot of these things on purpose from the public because they use it as methodologies for control, because they understand some of these natural energies that we would call archetypes and how to leverage them in certain ways. And certainly they utilize this in a demonstrable way through the use of what we would call the sky clock. Now, we've been taught to think of astrology as nonsensical, but there are certainly energies inherent there that can be leveraged in certain ways. That's why certain things always seem to happen at the same times of year. If you look at the fall, you see a lot of things happen, usually sometime in September, right? Well, there's a reason for this, and this ties back to the archetype or the natural energy at play. Same thing can be said here in the springtime, the Ides of March and the time around the end of April, beginning of May as well. They utilize these different time periods to, let's say, push certain agendas. And they've done this successfully for a long time because it has a real impact on the human psyche. And we don't recognize it on a conscious level, but on the unconscious level, it certainly affects all of us. And it will manifest in conscious behavior changes in one way, shape, or form at some point. And they know this. So they leverage these different natural energies against us. And like I said, this ties back to entire sciences that we probably don't understand or have any kind of gumption about. We have no clue about a lot of this stuff. And of course, in past times, this would have been called magic. We've been taught to think of magic as nonsense. But you have a famous science fiction writer who said any sufficiently advanced technology would look no different than magic to the untrained observer. So we have this type of technology of sorts that's called magic that's been used since time immemorial against the people. And I've taken a very long, hard look at all of this stuff, and I've attempted to break down and reverse engineer some of their systems that they use and the methodologies they've used. And I've been trying to put this stuff together in a way that's easily explainable to the average layperson. So that's what my challenge has been, and that's what I've been attempting to do, try to make this stuff digestible for the average person. But was there anything else specific you wanted to touch on here? I think I might have side-trailed a little too much there. I do have a tendency to talk on and on.
Actually, Angus, you had something you wanted to share, right?
Yeah, I mean, this kind of goes towards what you were talking about, how they're trying to push this. This was a Ukrainian Christmas special.
Хай рава перетворяться в мечі, щоб зникли так громади палачі, і мати стрими сина свого, хай! Тож перемогу всякого.
And this reminds me, because with people being on Free World and you can't see this video, for this Christmas special, these people are dressed like the devil. And they're singing about hoping that the Russian families all have diseases and they all die. This is a Christmas special. If that's not creepy, I just don't know what is. Yeah. I can only imagine what their Halloween specials are like. That's a Christmas special.
Now, stuff like that, sometimes they'll come out and they'll say, oh, it was satire. Well, regardless of whether it's satire or not, it is invoking certain archetypes and principles and putting them forward. So this is how they do things. And they're getting more and more blatant and open with this stuff now. Yeah. I mean, it's open Satanism in your face at this point. And they'll say, oh, it's fine. There's nothing to it. It's just art. I've actually done entire broadcasts about this notion of what's called the black art. And certainly they use art as a vehicle for influencing the human mind in these occult ways and drawing down different spiritual influences into the world. So even though they just claim it's art or performance art, just like that Maria Abramovich chick, they call it performance art. No, it's pure and simple. It's satanic when it comes down to it. But at any rate, yeah, we see stuff like that all the time, and they're just getting more blatant with it. And it's really telling. I mean, there's so much symbolism just chalked into that little video. It's unbelievable. And a lot of it's just blatant at this point.
I would say a lot of it, and you've seen it the last, you know, decade or so, especially in the hip hop world, with their videos and stuff. And then movies, you have all these new TV shows. Now everyone's a superhero. They got powers, you know. I think it's a predictive programming method. And the people, like you talk about, the people that are in the secret societies, and they're kind of like the hidden hand type thing. They're slowly revealing themselves, but they have to normalize it first. That's what when I look at predictive programming, when it comes to, like, you know, satanic kind of stuff, that's what I'm seeing happening, is they're trying to normalize it so they can come out into the open. And, you know, for what reason, I don't know. I mean, why would you want to normalize that kind of stuff? But it's got to be for something. We'll go with Angie Tiger. What's your thoughts on that, the predictive programming portion?
I believe that there's a lot of predictive programming, but I don't look at it so deeply. A guy like Jay-Z or Beyonce throwing up Illuminati signs, I think that that's popular. I think they do it to market themselves and for shock value. I think a lot of this stuff is for shock value, to get clicks, likes, and money. There might be some esoteric undertones to it. I mean, there are a lot of esoteric undertones to it. But I highly doubt that a lot of these people even know what the hell they're talking about or looking at when they're doing that. I just think it's a marketing ploy. And I think we live in a time where, you know, morals and dignity and virtue are not something that the powers that be or the governments want us to have. Because if we don't have those things, then we can't fight the evil. You know, I always say, you know, you fight evil with love. If you take a society, you make them devoid of love, then they're not going to be able to fight that evil. So I think there's, you know, it goes kind of both ways. I'm not so heavily leaning into, because a lot of these people, they don't know what any of that stuff means. And when they look it up, right, I mean, then they're like, oh, wow, look, this is foreboding knowledge and all this other stuff. Like I'll go back to the rappers. I think it's all shock value for them, really, to be honest with you.
All right, fair enough. What about you, Angus? What do you think about the normalizing?
Tend to agree with that, but the other thing I see is a lot of these. Just yesterday I saw, you know, videos. Again, you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt because of the stuff they can do with videos now. But there is actually a lot of these guys, that rappers and celebrities, that said they have sold their souls. Bob Dylan being one of them. And so if Zelensky with Maria Abramovich, you know, if he sold his soul. And he's promoting this here in Ukraine. I mean, it's not predictive program. It's revelation of the method at that point.
Right on. What about you, Wayne? What do you think about it?
Well, here's what the important aspect of this that needs to come across is. You see, what we believe about it is irrelevant. What we need to understand is there's people in positions of power in this world that very much believe in these things, and the things they do to act upon their beliefs will affect all of us. So therefore, we need to pay attention to what it is that they do and why they do it. And we need to look into these things and understand, what's their reasoning? Why do they do these things? Why do they perform all these occult rituals in front of the masses? Things like Super Bowl halftime shows and things like that. Why are the rappers out there throwing up the Illuminati signs and stuff like that, whether they're aware of what they're doing or not? Well, there's very real spiritual connotations and reasons for this. And a lot of it relates back to these belief systems. It's almost a secret religion of the elite in this way. So it ties back to this. There are people in positions of power in this world that very much believe in these occult principles, and the things they do to act upon them will affect all of us. So whether you believe it or not is irrelevant. What you need to understand is these people very much believe in it, and they try to leverage it against us. And once you understand that and begin looking at their reasoning, why they do the things they do and what it is that they believe, then you could have a better chance of staving off the effects they want to have on society as a whole here. And that's the important aspect of this. Now, I believe in the realms of celebrity nonsense that goes on, there are certain ones that are fully aware of what they're doing, and there's other ones that don't have a friggin' clue. They're just following their orders because they like their fame and fortune, and they take their marching orders and collect their big paycheck, and they go out and they push certain notions on the masses all the time. Like, they'll go out and they'll do their "I got my COVID vaccine" commercial and be perfectly content with that, with leading people down a questionable trail. They don't care. They got their payday. They have their worldly fortune and fame. And at a point, all these things need to be cashed in. So once you get on the payroll with something like this, with fortune or fame, you pretty much do the things that you're expected to do, or you'll find that fame and fortune is very fleeting, as many have discovered through the course of time. And some have actually seemingly lost their lives in some way or shape or form or another for perhaps bucking the system. So, you know, when we keep this stuff in mind, we need to understand, regardless of what your belief system is, there's people at the topmost echelons of our society that believe in these occult principles and they act on them. So that's the important thing to take away.
So being Christians, Wayne, do we have a lot to fear from this? If you're firm in your belief in Christ, and you know, is that the defense? Is that the main defense against this stuff for us as Christians, that we hold on tight to the foot of the cross and we don't let this stuff affect us, and the good Lord will protect us from this evil? Or do we have to take extra steps?
That is well said. And yes, that's the primary thing. Make sure you have a right relationship with God. Make sure that your relationship with God is firm. And if you're standing strong and firm in your faith, He has promised to protect us and to shield us from a lot of this stuff. But there are different layers of this. And I think recognizing the layers of these occult motifs is important for countering some of their defenses. You see, I would use the analogy of sometimes God wants us to help ourselves in certain ways. Like, you could look at the example of, I'm sure we've all heard the story of the town was flooded. So the woman was sitting on the roof waiting for somebody to rescue her. She prayed to God, God would rescue her. So a guy comes on a boat and says, "Hey, you want to get in?" And she's, "No, God will protect me. He'll save me." And then a helicopter comes and she refuses again, says, "God will save me." And then eventually she dies. And when she gets to heaven, she asks, "Well, why didn't you save me?" She said, "Well, I sent a boat and a helicopter and you didn't take action." And I think as Christians, it's our mandate to call out evil where we see it. And now is the time we need to take action against this stuff, to reveal. We're living in the time of revelation, and all this stuff that was done in the dark for generations untold is now coming to the light of day. And I think it is our mandate to expose these different things. And I don't think we have anything to fear from it. And this is something that's been culturally ingrained in Christianity as a whole. They don't want us to look at anything that they call, quote unquote, occult. They don't want us to look at that. They don't want us to try our best to understand that or read anything into that. This is actually a tool of the enemy. He wants us ignorant of how he operates. But what general would go onto a battlefield not having studied his enemy, his tactics, and his weapons that he uses? And that's the whole thing. We've been told it's wrong to look at that. Don't look at that. Now, it's one thing to look at it and to analyze it and try to understand it, but it's another thing entirely to try to put it in practice. Now, I don't advise put any of this occult stuff into practice. I believe our God is greater, and he has more power, and he can overcome this stuff and will protect us from it. But it's important that we understand it. That way we know why the enemy does the things that they do and how they do the things that they do to some degree or another. And we could better protect ourselves in that way, and we could be better prepared to handle the challenges that come from that. So understanding their tactics is an important part of the spiritual battle. And that's my viewpoint on all of it.
And Wayne, wouldn't you think that now, over the past decade, and especially at the start of COVID, shutting down churches and stuff, separating people from their religions, their spirituality, you know, younger generations no longer have that spiritual value, it seems like, or, you know, following religions. So just slowly beating that down. And then, as Angry Tiger was saying, they, you know, these rappers and stuff might not believe these symbols and everything that they're doing, but they're making it, normalizing it. So to make that acceptance even easier for people, you know, and it's a backhanded way. And now, you know, like you said, they do it blatantly right in front of everything now. And we just go, ah, okay, that's nothing. They're just, you know, messing around. But it's so prevalent now, and it's so constant, the bombardment of all this stuff. And the thing I always question is, you know, like you're talking about Super Bowl halftime shows and stuff where they do it constantly there. Whatever happened to the FCC? All these agencies that used to police the stuff that's happening now, they're all sold out to me. I don't see any of them doing anything to stop this. And I just think they're trying to normalize it and get people to accept it this way.
Well, certainly I agree with that. And what you need to understand about these people is they're very patient and they work generationally. So each generation we see further and further degradation of morals and ethics. And of course, this is all by design as well. They're very patient with their planning with this stuff. And certainly we have organizations like the FCC that are supposed to try to keep tabs on this stuff. But like anything else, you'll see that largely censorship only comes to those who are attempting to tell the truth. And that should tell you something about these organizations. If you're trying to inform people of something with real value, you get shut down very quickly. Now, if you're just, say, a TikToker or something that's out there producing nonsense and drivel that keeps people's minds in an adolescent-type state, then you're fine. Then you can have all the views you want, and it's quickly approved. But if you're out there trying to reach the minds of the public and inform them of the corruption and the evils going on in society, and maybe come up with solutions for how we could further combat this, then you're shut down rather quickly. And we are living in a time of digital censorship for certain. And that's why I think before we went on air, I was telling you, because you had mentioned about some of my books, I have transcripts of some of my podcasts that I've done. I began publishing them in book format, physical book format, because I think the only way to really battle digital censorship is to make sure we keep analog physical hard copies of records of important information. And my fear is one day this will disappear into the digital gulag and be gone forever down the memory hole, as 1984 so succinctly put it. And we're seeing that time coming to fruition right now. Everything's being transferred to digital. They wanted to try to do away with physical books, but I think physical books are still going strong and they're having more trouble getting rid of that way of doing things than what they anticipated. Same thing with the physical currency we have. I think they're going to have more roadblocks in trying to go all digital with that than what they anticipate as well. But at any rate, we need to have these physical hard copies of things in order to preserve the information for future generations. So it's more important now than ever that we have something like that. So I have taken the time specifically for that purpose of making these transcripts available in that way so people can preserve that information. Because I think it's my opinion, and a lot of people have told me as well, some of the topics I cover on my podcast that they think are very important. And I think they are too. So I think we need to preserve some of this information for the future, because we're coming to a time where you can just be shut up by the touch of a button and you're gone. I think we're seeing that now. People's YouTube channels disappear all the time, and their online presence goes away. And sadly, although this device we have, these computer systems, this tool that we have that's so useful, it's in the control of those who have nefarious things in mind for it. They want to use it as a means of control of people rather than the free exchange of information. So when they control the kill switch on everything, that's when things become really problematic. And we need to try to get back to understanding and knowing certain things ourselves and recording certain things in an analog way that's not tied directly to this system, because that's wherein they got you. Once they got you bought into the whole digital network, that's where you're at, and you're going to do what you're told, and that's that, which is also one of the main reasons why they really push for this transhumanist notion, because you won't be able to exist unless you're in their network then. You understand where this goes? If your consciousness is merged with the machine, you have nowhere to go. You can't escape the digital realm. You can't escape.
You know, Wayne, that's why I try to understand this stuff, because from the beginning of time, Satan has been a deceiver. He deceives people. He tricked Adam and Eve into, you know, thinking they were going to be like God and stuff like that. And that's where it started, the whole downhill thing. But, you know, when you think about transhumanism and trying to understand, Franco, you were talking about a lot of these artists and stuff. I say they're trying to normalize things. So they throw it in our face. Maybe they don't know what's going on, but somebody choreographed their show. Somebody had a motive behind it. And I think they're trying to normalize things so that we do eventually get to that transhumanist thing. And if we don't understand it, we might fall for it. So that's why I look into this stuff with censorship. If I was to, so let's just say that they were able to actually upload my consciousness onto a computer, which I don't think is possible. But let's just say that it's been normalized enough and you know, I go that route and I'm able to upload myself. Now, the same way they can censor you, AI can just delete you off the internet. They can just delete your program. You know, that's what it's going to come down to. If people actually believe they can get on this computer system, this AI driven reality, which number one, I don't think they can. Again, I'll say that. I don't think that they can do that. I think your soul is inherent to you. It can't be uploaded. But, you know, at least I could tell people that, look, they can delete you off the internet. They can delete your Facebook account. They can delete your Twitter. Why wouldn't they just delete you if you don't think the way they think? And then why would you put yourself in a position where you couldn't get out anyway? You know, if you're now dependent on the system, you can't undo it. You can't get out and say, you know what, I changed my mind. So I think that's where we're going with it. And again, that's why I wanted to say why I try to understand when they start normalizing things on the internet, normalizing on TV. There's something behind that. And I think we need to be smart enough to know what's going on so we don't get tricked into whatever the trick is, you know?
Precisely. And just to kind of piggyback on what you were saying there, this is one of the reasons why they introduced cryptocurrency. You see, you have the blockchain technology wherein information is never lost. You have these nodes all across the internet in which the information resides in this blockchain, in this hash. That's what it's called. And this is one of the reasons they've introduced that idea, because you see, if you believe in the technology they've handed us with the blockchain, information can't truly be lost. So they can never truly delete your entire consciousness from the network in that way, if you buy into that line of programming. This is why they gave us this illusion of decentralization with this. And it is an illusion. There's nothing decentralized about cryptocurrency. Let's be honest. And this is one of the selling points that they gave us for this. And it'll be the same type of selling point for the transhumanist notion. And what will eventually happen is they will convince people by having some maybe noteworthy celebrities or some such thing begin to upload their consciousness into the machine. And it'll be a good enough copy of that person that people will truly believe that they transcended their human form. And their consciousness now resides in the machine. And people will begin to buy into that notion. They'll be convinced enough when they begin to see more people uploading their consciousness in this way. And it seems like they're legit. Seems like they're really there. But it's still just a cheap knockoff of the real thing, in my estimation. I don't think your soul can go there. But here's another line of thinking you have to keep in mind. What if it does? What if your soul does go in that machine? In essence, they've built a digital hell for your soul, if that's the case. And I've looked at this from all different angles. Now, I don't personally think that's possible. I don't think there's anything about this divine spark of life we have, our soul, our spirit, that can be duplicated in a machine in this way or trapped in a machine in this way. But certainly, I think there are people in positions of power, some of these occultists, these dark occultists at the top of things, that may think otherwise and may think that they are able to do so. And that in and of itself is also a concerning thing. But you have to think in these types of terms to understand all the different agendas that tie together into this transhumanist notion of things. And certainly, I think we need to be concerned about that. And we do need to really question, do we want any part of that? I certainly don't. But that's up to the individual as well.
All right. I agree. It would be a digital hell if you could actually do that. I don't think that you can, but like I said, if you go in, why would you put yourself in a jail when the keys are on the outside? You know, you're stuck there. But apparently, real quick, I just want to let everyone know, apparently we're not going out on Free World. I don't know what the tech issue is. Looks good on my end, but it's Tony texted me and said it's not going out. So I apologize for that. If you were trying to listen on Free World, we'll figure out what that is and fix it for next time. But anyway, let's go to Angus, man. Angus, what's on your mind right now?
Not much. I was actually just going into Free World to check on that, and I did see some comments in there that people said it's not broadcasting. But it's scary times at a certain point, you know, to know what these people are trying to do and how many people are unaware. Like I always said, that's why we do these shows, is to try to get people open their eyes. But we're only opening the eyes, you know, we have the same people in the chat all the time. There's got to be another way. Hopefully Free World is the way to get people involved. But we got to start letting people know about all these platforms and hope people listen.
All right. Angry Tiger?
To Angus's point, I mean, Wayne, you have done a lot of in-depth research, and I step, not to be a wet blanket, I'm stepping away from this and looking at this through the eyes of, I don't like using the term sheeple or normie because it's pejorative and that doesn't help us at all, separating ourselves from everybody. How do you distill this fantastical, I mean, because it's fantastical, information down to get a person who is involved in, you know, our realm of thinking, or even, maybe not even be a critical thinker, and get this across to them in a way that they're going to digest it? Because if I was just some normal guy and I tuned into the broadcast, I'd be like, this is crazy horse shit. You know, how does this help me pay my bills? How is this going to help me, you know, fight inflation? How is this going to help me do, you know, all the problems that normal people are facing day to day? You know, now, you know, I need to go and try to explain to them how they have to be on the lookout for Cyber Satan and, you know, transhumanism, you know, stuffing them into their DOS system. There's got to be a way to distill this down, or maybe, you know, maybe within the realm of intellectual thought, conversations like this in our echo chamber are great. But how do we break this down? And should we even go there? Should we even try to say, hey, there's a secret society of occultists that run the world, but you don't know who they are, and I'm not exactly sure what main religion they are, but they're Satanists or Luciferians, and they're trying to stuff your brain into a DOS system. So you need to be on the lookout for that. Or how do you tell somebody who maybe knows a little bit about symbology, and you get one symbol means something in one culture, it means another thing in another culture, and it means a totally different, and it's all different stuff. How do we like let normal people know about this stuff, or should we avoid it? Or should we just kind of like focus on what they call in the magic world, the mundane, and show them, hey, look, all this stuff is happening to you, and it's because of something more tangible. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And I'm not attacking anybody. I'm just like, this is a problem we have. We're to Angus's point, we're going to be stuck in this echo chamber when we start talking about stuff that you know is highbrow, ancient history, pieced together, pontificated together. In my point of view, which education and educated piecing together of this stuff, but we still you have to make a leap to get to where we're at. How do we break that down for the normal person and get them on our side or get them to listen to the important stuff? Like, I'm just trying to get people to understand fractional reserve banking and that the, you know, I believe the bankers run everything. I don't know what religion they are. I frankly don't really care because that doesn't help me fight them and that doesn't help me spread the word. So what do we do to kind of help people get up on this, a leg up on this?
Well, see, that's always been the challenge because a lot of people, they don't want anything to do with looking at the quote unquote occult angle of all of it because of the cultural programming, because of the social programming. If you're a Christian, you're taught, don't even look at that stuff. It's evil. And that's a lot of the problem because they have so many things that they have used, so many different tools in that tool bag that they've used against the people that they're largely unaware of because they've never looked at it. You don't need to be afraid of information. If your walk is strong enough with God, you don't have to be fearful of seeing this information or looking at this information. And that's the thing. And it is kind of problematic trying to present a lot of this material to people who have largely not been exposed to any of it prior. And this is where I will actually take a tool out of this power structure's own tool bag and utilize it, the power of the internet meme. This is one of the main ways we could combat this stuff or make people aware of what's going on. We see the different corruption inherent in the world. And if we could poke fun at this, we can use these tools of satire and of memes. It's a type of an archetypal energy that you could use. You could steer, you could layer all kinds of different meanings into the meme. And when the person's ready, when their individual mind is ready to see it, they will see it. So that's why the power of the internet meme has had such an influence in our modern way of thinking. Now, if you go back 10 years, 15 years, if I mentioned the word meme, nobody would know what I was talking about. But now everybody knows what a meme is because of the power of the internet. And this is one of the main tools we can use to get information out, because it's presented to them in a way where it affects their unconscious mind primarily. And see, the controllers of this world, they understand this principle and they've used it against us for a long, long time. They hand us these symbols in everything that affect our minds on an unconscious level in ways we don't understand. And now we have the ability to use this same type of a system to get information out to people. So that being the case, I think this is one of the primary things we can do. We can use satire. We can use memes. We could use all of these things to poke holes and poke fun at the agendas that they're presenting to us. And there's more power in that than what appears on the surface level, because people will see a meme and sometimes they may not understand what the meme means. So then they research it and then they find out, oh, I was unaware of this. So then they start looking into things a little bit more. And this is one of the challenges we have because, see, everybody's at a different level of understanding or awareness in this time that we're living through right now. Now, your average person will recognize, yes, there's political corruption, but most people don't look beyond that layer of things, beyond the political realm. And when you begin to look deeper and deeper, you find corruption and you find problems at every single level of this stuff, all the way down to including the occult. And eventually you get there if you dig deep enough. But not everybody's ready for that. So you kind of have to spoon feed people a little bit at a time with the things they're comfortable with. And sometimes you could use big events, questioning big events that everybody has some familiarity with, as a kind of launching point to get them into looking deeper into these things. But you can't force somebody to understand something immediately. You could lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So the best we could do is just put the message out there to the best of our ability and the people will resonate with it at some level, depending on what their level of understanding is. So even though we do operate in these little echo chambers, we are making an impact out there. I hear from people all across the world all the time that say, hey, I heard you on such and such a program, and man, what you're saying really resonates with me, and I looked into it further, and thank you for doing what you're doing. So it's good to know we do make a difference, and we do reach more people than what we realize. This is all part of the digital gulag system they put in place. We're probably reaching a much broader audience than what we think right now on this platform. The algorithms are all skewed, and YouTube is a perfect example of this. I've been told by people who know that bare minimum, when you're looking at your numbers on YouTube, you can guarantee it's probably 100 times more than what they're showing you in the analytics there as to your actual reach. They skew these things on purpose, and they do it for a number of reasons, one of which is financial, of course. And YouTube is one of the most noteworthy for doing this stuff. But I've been told by people who know inside the industry that this is true, that YouTube skews their analytics, and they don't give you an actual real view as to how many people you're really reaching. And I hear from people all the time, like, I have no idea, like, how far some of these things go. And I'm sure that's across the board for most of these big tech platforms and networks, too. The numbers are skewed. The analytics are skewed. And they don't reflect the reality. So we probably reach more people than what we think. And that's the other angle of the PSYOP going on, is they want you to believe that you're an outcast. You're the only one that thinks in the way that you think. You're the only one that sees problems with this. And they want you to think that most people are just what's reflected in Hollywood media, that they think in these more liberal type of ways, and that they're good with everything going on, and they support the war in Ukraine, and they support the war in Israel, and they have all these different feelings about this, and they back all the stuff that's pushed as the mainstream narrative. And they want you to believe you're the outsider, when in fact we're probably the silent majority. And that's what they don't want us to understand, because in understanding that you have more power than you think you have, and there's a lot of people who have the same mindset as you, well, this would disrupt the whole power system in this world, the whole balance of power. And these people who are pushing 24/7 all this propaganda on your mind, they would lose control rather quickly. So they want to create this illusion that you're the outsider, you're the outcast, when in fact it's probably the opposite of the reality. So that being said, it's always a challenge reaching people, but we just have to do it at the level we can do it. And eventually, as each person begins to learn more and more, they have to physically, they have to mentally want to go there. They have to want to understand further before they're going to cross that bridge. But we can put the information out there and hope that something catches. Plant the seed and hope it takes. That's the best we could do.
Yeah, on the skewed analytics thing, I've talked to Angry Tiger about this before. I remember one particular show we did, and we literally had more people in chat than what it showed was viewing in real time. So we know that those numbers are skewed. And then I've also seen, another shows that I've gone where they'll throw it up on, and this is on Rumble. They'll throw it up and they just barely, it says, upcoming or whatever, you know how that works. And it'll already have like 100 views. And you're like, that's impossible. So they definitely skew the numbers. And I think that's to discourage us from trying to tell the truth, but we got to do what we got to do. We got to keep on going. And I also want to apologize to Free World FM. Apparently our audio was not being piped out to them. But it is working now. So, and I want to give a shout out to Moark Wild Woman. That's Melissa. So I'm glad you're there in Free World FM chat. Hopefully we won't have this problem next time. So I guess we'll get ready to wrap it up. I want to make sure we do take the time to promote your stuff there, Wayne. Let me get your website up on the screen here. So here's your website. Alchemical is just alchemicaltechrevolution, all one word, .com, correct?
That's right. AlchemicalTechRevolution.com. And there's links there for everything else I do too. The books, my channel on Rockfin, where I do live streaming, all kinds of stuff on there. So,
yeah, I was trying to find, okay, this is the, this one's one of your transcript series. You said you've been publishing those as a book. And this is another one. I actually want to get this one.
That's my first book right there.
That's your first one? Okay. And then the one I want to get this one too, the autism epidemic. I really wanted to get to that today, but we're almost out of time.
That's a whole subject in and of itself, man.
Well, I could see, you know, with medications and, you know, I would argue all the EMF that we're exposed to, I think they are dumbing people down. You know, not only just are they normalizing things, but they're also dumbing people down because the Satan is about tricking you and they can't have people be critical thinkers. So the whole autism thing, I'm actually going to get that one. I'm going to read it. And because my grandson, we think he's autistic and I don't know. Is there things in there that are tips or are you just talking about how autism is one of the things that are intentionally done?
Oh, there's a lot to it. It's a very nuanced subject, and I do have three children on the autism spectrum, so I understand in depth everything that's related to the subject. And this is something, this book has very much, it's probably my bestseller, and I've had so many people reach out to me because of this book. When they begin to understand what's been done in the name of science here, and how this ties to the transhumanist agenda, that's the other thing people are largely unaware of. The autism epidemic, and it is an epidemic at this point, most certainly does tie to the transhumanist agenda. And there's no doubt in my mind, this is actually one of the books I've done where I cite a lot of different scientific sources and stuff like that, peer-reviewed journals and different things like that, in order to make my point here with the whole thing. It's been something that's been engineered carefully into society, and they've engineered it in a certain direction. And this is a topic for a whole other show. I mean, I could go on for probably 5 hours about all the nuance to that. But if you have any questions about maybe dealing with autism or identifying autism, certainly reach out to me. I can possibly help.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm just going to homeschool him because I'm worried about that whole train of Medicaid. You know, you get them in the public school and they don't work well with others, or maybe they're a challenge for the teacher. Next thing you know, they're diagnosed with something and then they're on an SSRI, and then there's side effects from that. So they got to be on another medication. That's something I really want to avoid. And plus he's a pretty smart kid. I think it might be something that he can outgrow. You know, I've heard of that. People can, I guess you would call it highly functioning. But you can become like, you know, anyway, I don't know where I'm going with that. I need to get us out of here. Sorry if I'm a little distracted. I was having some tech issues here that I was trying to work through throughout this whole thing. So, anyway, let's go around the table, because we got to clear out. Angus, let's start with you. Where can people find you and what you got coming up soon?
Recording a new Event Horizon tonight. I'll upload it tomorrow onto my channel, and, hopefully I'll see you there with a camera tonight. Anybody wants to join in, Karen Carpenter is going to be there. Little John will be there. Chris Graves, Raul will be there. Anybody else, just send me an email. My email is right on my Rumble channel.
Right on. Tiger.
Oh, Angry Tiger's newsletter at Substack. You can find me at the Angry Tiger's Den on Rumble. I've been censored on YouTube, so and you can find Angry Tiger's Den on Twitter. And I want to thank Wayne for the fascinating presentation of just a myriad of information here. And I want to thank you guys for letting me join in today.
All right. Well, thank you for coming. And I guess I'll clear us out. Any final thoughts, Wayne, before we head out of here?
Only final thoughts I have is just make sure your heart's right with the Lord, guys. That's the important thing at the end of the day. And if you do that, everything else will fall into place. He doesn't lead us down a path where we're on our own ever. He'll never leave us or forsake us. So that we can hold on to.
Amen, brother. All right. So I guess that does it for today. Remember to keep your armor polished and your sword sharp. Until next time.